This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best tasting protein out there. Don't forget to mention the FitCast when you place your order.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode 149 and a half. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me this week, first we have Tony Gentlecore of the Boston Herald Step Up blog, at least for now, and also GentleCoreTraining.com. What's up, Tony?
What's going on?
I just threw in a little...
Yeah, and actually, you know, I know I've been saying this for coming on 2 years now, but I actually am going to be switching to a new website like within the next couple of weeks. you could probably go to like episode 17. I'm talking about this major switch I'm going to do, but it's going to be Tony.
It's Gentlecore. Finally happening.
It is. I found somebody living in St. Louis who's helping me out with. I'm trade bartering with him, so I'm running his programs and he's doing all my website stuff. So, the Boston Herald blog will soon not exist anymore. So, hopefully, people will follow me to the new site.
Oh crap!
So, you're not going to be doing a blog with them at all now? Just through your own site?
I'm taking all the content from the Herald. They've been gracious enough to allow me to take all the content with
wow.
me and put it on the new site. And
that's
that
really
serve,
cool.
Yeah, it will serve as my website / my blog. So
cool.
it should be pretty cool.
I look forward to reading it.
Thank you, Lee.
No, I was just looking. I just realized as we get towards episode 150, we never like did a third three-year anniversary show. That's sad. All right. And also, we got Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. What up, Lee?
What up, Kevin? Let's see. Nothing much. I have an ongoing article series that's talking about goal approaches and how to like set goals for muscle gain, fat loss, things like that. That's coming out. And then I have another mix blog posts, which are my most popular blog posts, and I realized that I just shouldn't write about anything but making mixtape music to work out to at the gym, because that's really all I'm worth apparently. But
we're gonna make sure we don't make that mistake about the DeLorean again, right?
Right, Kevin. Absolutely right.
I appreciate that. Thanks. Well, we got a couple things going on. And Lee, I'm going to ask you what's up again later on, because I want to talk about some stuff that you've been doing. But obviously, episode 150 is approaching. We decided to make this episode 149 and a half to give you guys 1 week to put together. Or what I'm going to do is I'm going to put together an epic episode or an epic piece of audio that encompasses a bunch of your favorite moments that have happened on the show. These can be answers that you really liked from people and you feel that are very important that people should hear again. It could be funny moments that you just were listening at work and you couldn't stop laughing for some reason or another. Or it could be, you know, doing the introduction with Tony Gentlecore multiple times.
I knew that was going to come up.
You know that's going to be on there.
It's going to be in there. It has to be in there. Or, you know, going back all the way to, you know, as we mentioned, it's been going on for over 3 years now and talking about stuff with, you know, John Williams or, you know, stuff with Keith Scott, who I still can't pronounce his name without some kind of a lisp. But Keith is awesome, and he's still doing tons of stuff, and he actually has a new product that just came out that,
you know, good stuff.
Yeah, it was really good, and we should definitely try to get him on to talk about that. But he is a busy man. He's a very busy man.
I remember when Keith, when we're at, you were, I think you were there, Kevin, when we're at the
boot camp
seminar in Rhode Island, and Keith was gracious enough to release my piriformis right in the middle of the conference room, which was kind of cool. I don't know, maybe you weren't there. Maybe it was me. Were you there?
No, this is like the third time you thought I was there, but I wasn't.
Oh, yeah. I just remember Keith was just, literally, I was laying on the floor in the middle of the Rhode Island conference room, and Keith just put his elbow on my butt.
Unless you're talking about the boot camp.
Yeah. What was that?
Unless you're talking about the boot camp, but you're just talking about dudes
sticking their... I never went to the boot camp. Ryan Lee's boot camp, never went to it.
Okay. Very good.
I'm just saying, like, that was a nice memory of Keith that I've had. Where
obviously.
He released my performance. I turned that into him.
I hear that a lot from guys.
I bet you bought him dinner, too, didn't you, Tony?
Some turkey tips.
I had some of those last weekend, actually.
I'm not surprised.
Me, too. Tony, but I'm telling you, that tavern in Salem, not as good.
No, it wasn't. Is it the same? It's the same exact
same menu and everything. Yeah, and I got the turkey tips and.
Well, the turkey tips at the tavern aren't as good as the one at Sunset. Like Sunset Grill is where I always get my turkey tips.
Okay, well, at the tavern, you know.
The tavern.
Why
has
are we talking about
tips.
This?
I don't know. Yeah, we're going off topic. Oh.
Maybe I should have gotten the Grand Slam or whatever it is, the Triple Play. Damn it.
Triple Play is a good call at that place.
Okay. Next time. So anyways, what I want you guys out there to do is your favorite moments. And again, it can be anything. We're not going to discriminate against like what it's talking about. But I really want you to email in with your favorite moments. And this is going to, of course, it's going to take some work on your part. And it's going to take plenty of work on my part to edit all these things together into one cohesive show. But the other thing that we also might do is we might kind of play them back if they're not too, too long and then discuss them. If it would make sense, obviously not all of them are going to make sense, especially if it's, you know, John Williams, I and Alan Cosgrove, it wouldn't make sense for us to, or like Tony and Lee to talk about it, unless you want to, if you guys think that's a good idea. Only John emailed me back and thought that was a good idea, but.
No, I think it's a good idea. I remember that one actually, because that was the one where Alan talked about how he had to be distracted during exercise, and I really related to that when he was doing cardio.
Yeah, it's also when we lost our sponsorship with Greens Plus.
That's right.
So. Huge ups to Alan for doing that.
Like another good example would be when John, I remember, I think it might have been episode 118 or somewhere around there, where he discussed foam rolling and why he likes it and why we should do it. Because I forget who it was who wrote an article on why he thought it was bunk, but John went on like a 15-minute rant. Like, discussed
big
why.
There.
Yeah, it was a huge knowledge bomb. I remember off the top of my head, that would be a good one.
In the Lou Schuler ones, you know, people forget, like, we've had Lou Schuler on a couple times, and he is just hilarious, and he's always a great interview and very knowledgeable. If you haven't, you should really go listen to stuff with Lou Schuler, and we should get him on again. I miss talking to Lou. You know, Scott Abel has had some great answers, very good stuff, and... Man, I don't know. Man, I'm looking through the list of what we have
John,
on iTunes,
Dan
and
John
it's
would be good one.
Oh, Dan, yeah, no, it's his episodes are just pure gold. So it's tough to take certain things out of it. But yeah, if there's a specific answer that you got from Dan John or something that he talked about, send it in and send in the timestamp if you can. Please send in the timestamp and the episode. Not just the general episode, because I'm not going to have the time to go back to, you know, I'm probably going to go through at least 20 or 30 episodes to get these clips on. And I'm going to help you guys out, too. I'm going to, for every clip that we use, and if you sent that in and you send in the timestamp, I'm going to send you a t-shirt, no questions asked. So we're going to be giving away, like, 15 t-shirts. Like, it's going to be... all out. We need your help, and we're gonna hook you up in the meantime. But yeah, just going back, there is tons of fantastic stuff back there. And again, it's just thanks to all the outstanding guests that we've had on in the past. And you know, like John Berardi stuff, very good. Tends to be a little bit long winded. So if you find one of the shorter parts, one of the more long winded answers, we can use that. But Man, just memories. You know, I want to sing, but it's like lots of memories that. And don't listen to episode one, no matter what, because it's horrible. Nothing from episode one. That's the rule. All right. I need you guys to bounce stuff off me, because otherwise I have to click through different pages and we have dead air. But all right, so that's the deal. Email those two questions at thefitcast.com, and we will again, we're going to pick about 10 or 12. This is going to be like a 2 or 3 hour long episode that I'm going to put together. It's going to be gigantic, and it's probably going to take you a week or two to listen to, or for some of you, it might take one drive back and forth to work or two sessions in the gym. So we're really going to put together something that's cool, and we're still going to have some fresh content in that episode as well for you guys. One thing I want to quickly talk about is a story that was sent to us about a story on Fox News. And the reason why I brought that up is because it's a very sad story in talking about obesity in America, and again, especially with children. But there's a 383-pound 13-year-old football player that died after practice from high blood pressure. And this was featured on Fox News. It wasn't a very big story, but what are we going to do? Because things obviously aren't necessarily getting better just yet. I think steps are being made, but in terms of awareness, but you know, it's really sad when you see a kid who's 383 pounds at the age of 13 dying at a football practice. Because obviously, at that point, you think you would have to put some of that responsibility on the parents as the kids being raised. But I don't know if you guys want to talk about this. I just thought it was a very interesting story, and I'm going to post a link in the show notes for people to check out. And I want to thank Jake for sending that in.
I actually have very strong opinions about childhood obesity. I think that it's very much the responsibility of the parent. And I hate seeing things like this because, you know, I believe in being tactical with your children if they have problems with eating. You know, I don't believe in giving them any sort of severe issues with food or, you know, having them get into over exercising, because I've seen parents do that with their kids as well. And I don't agree with that, but, it's, you know, that what you do to your child early on builds for what they have for the rest of their life. And if you create even just those fat cells and the hormone profiles, you're going to automatically make it harder for them as they grow older. And the chances of them losing that fat or having an easier time of it in life, it's, you know, the skin issues alone. I mean, you're basically making it so hard for your child, and it does not need to happen at all. It just doesn't need to happen. It's completely avoidable. It is absolutely avoidable. And to me, it's something that I have like a very hard time dealing with parents who just put their kids in front of the TV and feed them and try and settle their emotional problems like that. So, yeah. Anyway.
Well, I don't think people necessarily look down the road, but when, you know, these kids are 14, 15 years old, even at that point, it's going to be hard to battle back and get down to a healthy weight. And even after that, there's going to be, you know, issues you might necessarily think of, but psychologically, that they're going to have to deal with, like loose skin and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's not only issues that, you know, obviously being an overweight kid that you have to deal with mentally and socially, but physiologically speaking, this is the time in youth that you build your fat cells and that you kind of create your hormonal profile. Mm-hmm. And you don't really create that in adulthood unless you get in a really extreme obese situation. You don't create new fat cells, and you don't, you know, you kind of build off of what you have until it gets stuffed, if you will, and then you start to pop them out more. But in childhood, they create very easily. So therefore, you're automatically going to have, you know, more altered like leptin receptors. And there's just going to be certain things that come into play that are physically happening to your children that you can't erase. There's nothing that you can do to take it back. And I just think that it's a developmental stage, and this is the time in which that you can help your child become the adult that you wish for them to be, you know. And I just think that it's really, I think it's irresponsible, and I get kind of heated about it.
I mean, I agree wholeheartedly, because I know as a kid personally, like my mom, like you said, the kids are going to base their eating habits and physical habits off what their parents do. I mean, the parents play a huge role in that. And I know personally when I was a kid, like, I was outside all day. My mom did not allow me to eat sugary cereal. Like, she always had healthy cereal in the house. I mean, like you said, you got to be practical. I mean, obviously, as kids, we're going to have our Skittles, and we're going to have, you know, our treats here and there. But certainly, as a backbone of a basic nutrition. I mean, the parents play a huge role in that, and as do the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the statistics don't lie. I mean, you're going to see statistics of every kid born after the year 1 in 4 kids after the year 2000 are going to have type 2 diabetes.
Yeah,
and it's insane. I mean, so it's the parents. It's nice to see a lot of school systems taking the initiative and implementing healthier food choices, taking out the soda machines. I mean, there's still a long ways to go, absolutely. But it is nice to see that there's this paradigm shift starting to make its way into the general population as far as like how our kids are eating and what they're eating. But, I mean, we certainly do have a long way to go still, unfortunately.
You make a great point about kids taking after their parents. As the child's father, the child who died, his father died at age 45. Due to high blood pressure and clogged arteries at 45 years old.
Yeah. And, you know, and I also, you know, there is a distinction between your kid being a little chubby and overweight and your kid being, like, obese. I mean, there is no need for a kid to be 383 pounds at the age of 13.
That's insane.
No need for that, you know. So I want to make sure that it's a clear distinction that I'm not saying if your child is a little chubby that you're a bad parent. You know, there's a distinction. Yeah. But, you know, anyway.
Alrighty. Going down the outline, I'm not going to talk about that. And what something that we talked about in the off topic really quickly, there's been lots of like blog posts of people talking about The Biggest Loser and what Jillian Michaels did. There's on episode 1 of the new season. I didn't watch it and Lee didn't watch it. Tony, I'm guessing you didn't see it.
I actually have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
I heard about it, that's for sure.
Well, I
read a lot of blogs about it. Like Tom Venuto wrote a great blog about The Biggest Loser in general. And I mean, I've seen The Biggest Loser enough to know that I've seen this quote unquote episode. I just haven't seen the episode, if that makes sense.
Are we talking about like the season premiere of the episode?
Yeah. I mean, it's always the same thing. You know, they yell at them and they make them do things they shouldn't do because they're physically not capable. And, you know, it's, I don't know.
Well, Chris Moore.
Another
good blog post on that, and I'll post both those links.
He wrote like a letter or something, didn't he? Like a letter to Jillian Michaels or something like that.
Yeah, and you know what Chris was just trying to get his point across is like you know there's a certain point as a trainer or like someone that's trying to get someone healthier that you should be able to go to bed, you know, and actually go to bed at night and not feel like you did harm that day. Like we obviously none of us are driving Mercedes-Benz right now.
No.
We're not in it for the money. Jillian might be. But again, the thing that bugged me, and I haven't seen it, so I can't really, you know, give you concrete stuff. But the only thing that bugs me is that I feel like it was done for ratings, and I feel like it was done to get some, you know, get the Biggest Loser into the news, and that's it. I don't think that's, I mean, I hope it's not something that's just driven by money for her, because that's really effed up.
Can I ask what actually happened, or are we not discussing that?
She basically, what happened was, and this is what I've heard from my clients, is that there was somebody who was doing some exercise. I don't know what it was, but she ended up basically explicitly yelling at them, dropping tons of F-bombs, saying you're useless, like you suck, and you know, you're no good, you're not trying at all, and all this stuff. And, you know, as a trainer, like if, you know, I'll see if I can find it. Lee, if you want to talk about it for a second.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's basically what I heard it was too. And it's no different than there was a thing, I believe it was last season, where, the same kind of thing kind of happened with Bob. There was like a woman on a treadmill. This is a, now, granted, like, I'm not that amazing at guessing weight, but I'm going to say that she was maybe 5'6" and 200 and, I don't know, no way she could be lower than, like, 240, 250. And he had them doing intervals, all of them doing intervals on the treadmill and going at, like, fast pace and then slowing down. And they were running at, I believe, 6.5. And while maybe for, you know, you or me or Kevin, 6.5 running isn't, like, that crucial, putting a severely obese person to run at 6.5 on a treadmill can be scary and not something I would recommend. Not to mention, I don't recommend doing that ever anyway, but that's a whole different story. But like the point is he started like yelling at her, like, you're not trying. And cussing at her, and everyone's like, yeah, this is awesome. This is great. You know, you show her she, you know, basically sucks and she's not, you know, giving her all. And when I'm just sitting there being like, no, you know what? Her common sense is telling her to not do what it is that you're telling her to do. That's what it is. And I just so don't agree with anything about that show. I think that it can inspire people. And I think that that aspect is good. I do think there are certain pros, but the cons to me far, far outweigh the pros.
Well, I want to say, I linked to it in my blog this week where Coach Dost also did a blog on The Biggest Loser and said that the biggest losers are actually the viewers, you know? And
yeah.
He actually, at the tail end of his blog post, had snippets of past contestants
mm-hmm.
talking about their experiences. And they pretty much all of them said that looking back, it was absolutely the wrong thing to do.
Most of them are compulsive over-exercisers now.
Yeah.
Likely have, mm-hmm. jacked metabolisms. You know, some of them, there's one girl in there that wasn't even, I read that blog post that Doss said, it was good. There were one of them that wasn't even on there. She exercises, I read an article that she exercises 4 hours a day.
Yeah,
it's just, and in an aggressive manner. And I'm just like, wow, good job, Biggest Loser. That's what you taught your contestants, you know? And they have to do these spot ads. And it's so funny because you can so see them, because you'd be like, oh, what are we going to take to eat? Let's grab the 100 calorie snack pack.
Yeah.
Weak. You know, subtle, Biggest Loser, subtle. You know, it's a choice. For a new generation.
Dude, those Nabisco 100 calorie Oreo packs are awesome. That was sarcasm. Damn it, I didn't get it across though. I'm trying to pull up the video, and unfortunately the NBC site isn't working for me, but what I'll do is I'll try to find the clip, and if I can, I'll post a link for it, and I'll actually watch it. But I've always refused to watch this show because I think it's absolute BS. Although one thing that was cool is that Dave Tate showed that they were using a prowler on the show, which is kind of cool. It's just like a sled,
yeah.
Which, you know, side note. But anyway, so the reason why I even brought up Joey Michaels is because a listener of the show, again, I am really not as organized as I probably should be right now, but they sent me a... and someone actually made a joke saying that we should have Joey Michaels as our 150th episode guest, which I turned down. But someone sent us a link because Joey Michaels now has rapid weight loss products, which include a detox and cleanse with a probiotic replenishment system, which is at the low, low price of $60. Because if you buy two, you also get one free. And with the free, you get a free bonus of a 7-day free trial to the exclusive Joey Michaels online weight control and fitness plan, where you'll find a complete cardio and fitness program, customized meal plans, daily motivation from Joey Michaels. That's the best part. And the ability to track your weight loss online. In other words, you get straight talk, no gimmicks, for real. And all the tools you need to succeed, as she uses a sales page to sell her calorie control, the fat burner, a quick start, and a detox and cleanse, 4 products.
And can I just say that there's ingredients in these products that she specifically speaks out against in her book as being bad. That's all.
What, are you telling me she's a hypocrite?
I find it very, very ironic that she goes off in detail about the specific ingredients in her Master Your Metabolism book that are killing us all, that is a scare document, really. But yeah, these ingredients are in her products. I just want to throw that out there. Yeah.
So, you know, to be honestly, we've been going through Destination Abs. I've been thinking about picking up Calorie Control because she's going to tell me it's going to help my, it has a high energy formula that fights diet fatigue. I think am I in diet fatigue?
You are in diet fatigue. You are. And you'll really, it's caffeine.
And there's stars everything.
What is it, caffeine?
Well,
it's
everything,
caffeine,
yeah.
Ginger root, and cocoa, and some other things that are, you know, really off the wall, cola nut and Chinese skull cap, because you can't get through the day without some good Chinese skull cap.
Unicorn tears and...
Yeah, right.
Dragon breath. Gotta have
Millie needs some unicorn teardrops. You know, screw Echinacea. Give me the unicorn tears.
If only. Coming to you from Joey and Michael's Fitness Products. Call now. All right. I think, and last thing, Lee, I'm gonna ask you what's up again, because I wanna what's been going on the podcast as well.
Podcast has been good. I just did episode 3, and the next episode that I'm doing is an interview episode.
God, I love the internet, guys.
Because I got so many questions about me and who's going to be working on the Body by Eat site is actually...
Oh, man. I think we lost Lee. Tony, you still there? Tony Jelcor? All right, we're going to pause for a second until I get these guys back. This is live radio. All right, we got everyone back. So, Lee, I'm just going to have you start again one more time. What's been going on with the podcast?
Podcast is good. I just did episode 13, I think, and had a few good rants on there, I guess. And I'm going to be doing another one that is an interview episode, talking about Body by Eats, and it's just asking questions about that and answering questions about that. And so that's going to be kind of like that's different, obviously, because usually I answer other people's questions about like themselves, and I'm now answering other people's questions about me, because that's the epitome of narcissism. So yeah, that's what the next episode is going to be about.
Tony, what have you been up to? You've been
I've been blogging quite a bit lately. Especially I'm trying to get more of the habit of doing that, especially with the switch over to the new site, but things are picking up. But yeah, right. And then we've been really busy with a lot of our pro guys are starting to weasel their way back into CP. So we've had, I think, three or four of them are back now, and we're expecting well over 20, 25. So that would be cool to have all the guys back, and just to keep them busy with training athletes and trying to get a little bit more writing done. So all is well.
Very cool. And how's your quest for Jennifer Gardner going? Any update?
And that was so, like, what, 3-4 years ago. I've moved past that.
Who are you on now?
Well, I've always been a... Well, oh, that's a tough call. There's so many I put in my blog that...
Don't say Megan Fox or I'll kill you.
No. That's... No.
Oh,
that's,
I hate Megan Fox.
Although, funny story, you know Danny V.
Yeah.
He was telling me how a lot of guys in his... company down in Manhattan, I guess Shia LaBeouf was researching a role for an upcoming movie that he's going to be filming, and I guess a lot of his guy friends couldn't resist asking him about Megan Fox, and he had a few choice words saying about her, a few choice words about her, so which I thought was kind of funny.
Awesome.
At least I thought it was funny. I know we have a censored FitCast now, so I can't repeat what they said. So,
no, you can't.
Yes, and we've been listening to their censors so well today.
No, oh yeah. By the way, off topic. Don't listen to it with your kids around. I told you that. And for those, you should have understood when we had Dave Titt on. I put in big red letters that warning, uncensored. That's why. All right, that's gonna be it for the news. We're gonna be right back with the mailbag. This is gonna be a long show. All right, welcome to the mailbag. The first question, or I should say the first email, we got a couple emails that are kind of anecdotal, but we're gonna read through them anyways. So we try to get through it as many as possible, is from Jill. She said, I ran home from lunch the other day and was channel surfing when I came across Fit TV. This segment showed the, quote, trainer having the, quote, trainee do squats on a fit ball. Not sure the editors caught it, but when the camera panned out, the trainer was holding the ball for the trainee since he obviously couldn't keep his tail feathers on the ball. Bottom line is, the man should have never been on the ball to begin with. Why, ugh? Sorry, banging head on wall. Then they cut to the commercial, and I about hurl my wicked tasty salad back up when the spot for the latest and greatest ab circle came on. Why? Kids are overweight, adults are overweight, seniors need strength, and is what happened is supposed to rescue everyone. I gotta put my helmet on before I bang my head on the wall again. Sorry to rant. I knew you all could appreciate it. And Jill, yes, at my club, Fit TV is actually the designated channel for all the TVs in our gym. So I know what you're talking about. I feel it.
The reading of that, Kevin, the dramatics that you put into the why. Riveting.
Yeah.
I tried, but what's an ab circle?
Oh, I've been seeing that all over the place. There's some, like, woman promoting who's obviously fake boobs, fake mouth.
Google.
But she, I've been seeing commercials for that thing all over the place on, like, Spike TV and all
really?
That stuff. But
the same thing as the Pilates circle, or is this something different?
Atrocious.
Oh, wow. Look at this.
Okay, I'm Googling now. I'm curious. Circle.
Oh, here. I'm going to play this for the audience real quick. I'm going to have to unplug my headphones. So, Lee and Tony, please don't talk.
Hi, I'm fitness celebrity Jennifer Nicoli, and if you're busy like me, then stay tuned because I'm excited to share with you the most innovative piece of exercise equipment ever.
Introducing the Ab Circle Pro, the fastest, easiest way to have the flat washboard abs and the sexy V-shape you've always wanted.
Are you struggling to lose those love handles nobody loves?
Oh, now people grabbing on so love handles is so...
It targets your entire core, upper, middle, and lower abs, and even your obliques. All in one circular motion as it aerobically burns fat in just minutes a day.
The secret is the Ab Circle Pro combines cardio and abs to burn fat, while its unique friction-free track uses the momentum of gravity to target your entire midsection in a full circular motion.
Oh my god, they have like these, like it looks like someone's being transported on Star Trek.
We guarantee it. Best of all, it's fun and easy and takes just 3 minutes a day. And watch this. Simply remove the pin, and the Ab Circle Pro becomes a fat-burning bun and thigh machine.
Oh, look at that adduction, baby.
I lost almost 3 dress sizes in a few short weeks.
With the Ab Circle Pro system, I've now lost 60 pounds, I feel great, and I'm one hot mama.
And now, through this exclusive TV offer, the Ab Circle Pro can be yours to try in your home for 30 days for just $14.95. And if you call within the next 10 minutes, we'll send you Jennifer Nicoli's complete Lose Your Love Handle system, which includes our 3-minute express workout and nutritional guide, absolutely free. That's everything you need to transform that body from flab to ab.
You have nothing to lose but inches, so pick up the phone and call now.
All right. Can you guys wait a few seconds? I gotta make a phone call.
Gotta do it within the next 10 minutes, though.
I know, because it's on the internet. They could tell when I click that. Okay, yeah, it's just another piece of crap ad product. That's all right. You know, the best part is that it's, dude, this thing's only $15, but it costs $35 to ship it. And if you keep it, it's then 5 easy payments of $40 a month.
Yeah.
So, let's see if we can. Do you guys think you can implement that training at Crest Performance? I think you can.
I'm sure we could, but, you know, we'd have people throwing themselves through the wall if we try to use it there.
Gotcha. All right. The next email that we have comes from Robin Slomkowski, an American living in Berlin, Germany. I could do a German accent, but I'm not going to try. She says, hello, guys. Curious on your take of this article about muscle mass, and we'll put that link in the show notes. The sexual importance of large muscles is somewhat debated when compared across cultures, but what struck me was the subtext comment that large amounts of muscle, quote, weakens your immune system. Is there any evidence for that? I have read in a couple of spots that exercise increases your immune system, but exercise and muscle are not inherently tied. Thanks for any info. So, Lee, what do you have for Robin?
Well, on just the question about the immune system, it's muscle weakening your immune system, and the article saying that and the guy saying that, it's a very false statement. for one, the guys that did the study, and I couldn't find the actual study that they wrote referencing the research survey that they referenced, but I could find the research survey that they referenced where they got their material from. But basically, it's a really, really detailed questionnaire sheet. You know, they ask you everything from, you know, how many times a day do you eat? How many times a week do you have sex? And, you know, what your weight is. And it's very, very detailed. I mean, it's really, really, really long. And, you know, as always with these kind of things, you kind of have to take them with a grain of salt, because people in their honesties with surveys, and that's been researched, and, you know, it's kind of flip floppy, but, basically, you know, they found a link that guys who had more muscle, and that's based upon their justification of how much muscle they had. And anyone who's a trainer that's worked with people know that guys very much blow up how muscle they are, especially when they're overweight, but I'll just leave that out of it. But that guys who are more muscled end up, you know, doing different things. The sex issue, I mean, it was covered to some degree, but to have the link between the two, it was kind of sketchy. So I think for the purposes of the article, it was, I don't know, I didn't really even find like that clear of association, but I did scan it. It's like an extremely long, but I have a point. I'll get to it. But anyway, the whole point is that guys with muscles have a weaker immune system. Well, muscle has nothing to do with that in the first place. Muscle is protein storage in the body. But you could assume that guys who have more muscle have higher testosterone levels. And, you know, there's some research that, you know, says that testosterone suppresses the immune system. But the backfire effects of being in shape and training and everything could very well combat with that. So that's where that comes from. More testosterone equals a lower immune system. Therefore, guys who have more muscle probably have testosterone levels that are higher, would have a weaker immune system. But that's completely anecdotal and not at all provable. And it's more likely that you would be healthier having more muscle and training because you're more active, you have a better lifestyle, you eat better, etc. Makes sense? Was that ramble? Did it come to a circle?
No, that was good.
Yeah, okay. So that's where it's at as far as the answer to that. And the rest of it is just talking about, like, you know, testosterone and estrogen relations and perceived higher values and all that kind of stuff, which I've actually found to be fascinating between men and women and things like that. But as far as just the immune question, that's my answer for that.
So, yeah. And again, bear with us as we bounce things around, because John is not here, so we're moving some things around in the outline. We are doing it live.
So. Do it live.
That never gets old.
I think you started that, Tony, too.
Did I?
On this show, yeah.
Well, we did it. We actually made reference to it yesterday, too, when you were training.
We did. Don't remember why. Lee, but I'm going to have you grab the next question from Lori.
Okay, got it. Kevin, in a blog you mentioned miracle noodles. I have tried them and love them, as they let me feel like I'm actually eating something, but I still wonder if I should be eating them while on a low-calorie diet. Are they okay to eat every day to help me fill up? Should I log anything when I eat these? Thanks, Lori.
Well, basically, for people out there, the miracle noodles was something that I used, and I got from a guy that we actually mentioned earlier, Danny Verna, passed them on to me. And they're basically, it's just glucomannan made into noodles and water. And glucomannan is something actually I also use in some of my shakes to thicken them up. It's very cool stuff. And the product itself is literally just all, it's fiber. It's all soluble fiber. So, you know, I don't think it's going to have any impact on your diet. It's going to give you a little bit more fiber in your diet. Lee, what do you think? Have you had any of your clients ask you about this?
It's funny because I actually know Lori a little bit, but and she's asked me this too, but
oh, Lori, are you double dipping? Is she double dipping on the podcast?
She is. She's double dipping. Double dipping. But no, it's okay. I bet you she sent it to. It doesn't matter. But yeah, We actually contacted the company of Miracle Noodles to see if there was any calories in them at all, because they claim to be a calorie-free item. And there's a minute amount of calories in them. And also, people aren't usually aware of this, but fiber actually has calories. It's just in small amounts. So just on a very technical like note, does this product have calories? Yes, but it's just on a very small level, much like, you know, the Splendas of the world and things like that. But there's nothing wrong with eating, you know, a bunch of fiber, really. I wouldn't go overboard, you know, and I'd say that because I know women particularly would find this product and then eat it in mass quantities because it's such in low calories. And I could see how that could have maybe some interesting effects to your digestive system, and you might not feel so good. Yeah. So I'm just, you know, it is a fiber, and you can kind of go overboard with fiber if you're not careful. And so that's for the women who might try and eat, like, you know, 5 to 6 packs in a row, which I could see that happening.
Hey, speaking of fiber,
yes.
Two things that I've implemented in like maybe the last 2 or 3 weeks that I got from Brian St. Pierre, chia seeds, which are fantastic. I recently read the book Born to Run, and they talk about chia seeds. The it's chia seeds, not necessarily the ones that you get with the chia pet. Like, I know people are going to equate it to that, but great source of fiber with the chia seeds, really healthy, or really abundant in omega-3s. And also cacao nibs. I think one tablespoon or one serving, 9 grams of fiber, which is amazing. So I've been adding both of those to my yogurt lately, and it's awesome. So I don't know if either of you two have used those two products at all, but I recommend them.
No, but I do have a finely bearded face that is made of green grass on my desk.
Chia seeds. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. First of all, the book is awesome. Born to Run. Really fantastic. I actually listened to it when I went to visit family in Albany 2 weeks ago, and I listened to it to and from there. But they talk about chia seeds quite a bit and how healthy they are. And but yeah, Brian also pointed me in the direction of the cacao nibs by a company called Navitas Naturals. Yeah. Naturals.
Those I've had. They're tasty.
Oh yeah, but I got it through Amazon, so you can, you know, look for it on Amazon. And both of those products are from the same company. But I've implemented both of them in the past couple of weeks, and I really like them. So, I mean, I still use my ground flax seeds and stuff, but there might be one day where I use the chia seeds, the next day I'll do the flax seeds, and just kind of go back and forth between the two. But the cacao nibs, they're very bitter.
Do you know how to spell that?
Which one?
Cacao nibs?
C-A-C-A-O. Cacao.
Okay, got it. Yeah, it's like it shows up in Amazon.
Yeah, yeah. But like one serving is 9 grams of fiber, but it's not milk chocolate, so you know it does have a bitter taste. But it does provide, if you add it in like your Chobani yogurt or like in any kind of like shake.
I put them in shakes, and they add like a neat little texture.
Oh, yeah. With the chia seeds, it gives it a nice little crunchiness too. So, mm-hmm. For anyone looking for a good fiber for other stuff that has a decent amount of fiber, I would definitely check those two products out.
I do.
And you can thank Brian St. Pierre for that.
BrianStPierreTraining.com.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I got that from, so he'll appreciate that.
I'm trying to get Brian on the show, but unfortunately he's in the process of tying the knot.
Yeah, he's getting married in 2 weeks, so.
And that whip is just getting longer and longer, so it's tough to get him on the show. I think I'm gonna 2 day click these things right now.
Yeah, I got them quick. Like I did it through Amazon, and I got it within a day or two. It was really quick, and I bought two packages each, and they're gonna last me a while. So.
Okay. I'm gonna do some more research later. I'm gonna keep that page up. All right, next question, Tony. You got it.
Hey guys, and Lee. What up, Lee? I have heard things about. I'm probably going to pronounce this completely wrong. Herba mate. I don't even know how to pronounce this.
In the South, we just say yerba mate.
Herba,
so.
Okay, yeah, or that.
I don't know.
That had me thinking, why doesn't everyone know about this? What is your take on it? I'm not really looking into any fat loss aids, so to speak, but I wanted to get your take on the subject since everyone I hear it from I don't completely trust. Thanks in advance. P.S. I go to the College of the Canyons and see Dose just about every day after the weight room. I'm on the baseball team there. I just thought I'd mention that so you guys will think I'm cool. And you are. Yes, you're very cool. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Lee?
Yeah, I think it is yerba mate, just so I don't, like, totally kill someone's...
That's correct.
Yeah.
I was kind of right.
Yeah, no, yeah. So, all it is, and I'll keep this really short, it's just another one of many, like, green teas, white teas, an energy drinky kind of thing. It's a plant with caffeine, natural caffeine in it. And that's why, you know, and it's supposed to have some antioxidant values to it, like green tea and things like that. It's just another one of those kind of things. If you like the taste of it, and if you, you know, find a product that you like that has it in it, great. You know, if not, whatever. If you use it, it can give you a little energy boost. That's about it. It's just like green tea and all those other things. It does seem to have some more relevancy than other things on the market that claim to be. I mean, it does actually seem to have the ingredients in it. So I would put it in like a same kind of category as like green tea. That's what I would kind of put it in. Although the research on green tea has been more than on this. So if you're going to play it safe, I guess, with an antioxidant kind of caffeine derivative, then I would go with green tea over this if you wanted to, you know, play it safe. But if you like this and you like to drink it, then great. So short answer, but that's basically all there is to it.
Gotcha. Totally 2 day clicked one those things for you. And Tony asked the wrong question, so Liam, I'm gonna ask you another question.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, that's all right. This is a longer one for Liam.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. My bad.
And I think this is kind of a question that we've touched on a little bit before, but I think it's still a good question to ask. This is hi, Kevin Lee. And John, forgot about you, Tony. First off, I love the FitCast, you guys and gal. Crack me up and keep me well informed at the same time. Keep up the great work. I'm hoping to get some feedback from both sexes on this one, and I apologize if my question isn't strictly technical. Hopefully you will have fun with this one, but also give me some good tips. I've just moved to a new city to attend school, which also means a new gym, a new daily routine, and I don't know anyone here. Adding to that challenge is the fact that I'm older, 33, so I'm not really interested in the party lifestyle most college-age students are into. This makes meeting people more difficult. At home, I have a trainer and knew all the trainers and regulars at my old gym. I recently competed in my first figure competition, so I'm not a stranger to the weight room, and I like to lift heavy. I left a full-time career to return to school, and I'm already a little anxious as to how I will fit in with the younger crowd. Most people tell me I look like I'm in my 20s, so I feel like I can sort of blend in okay. I've been here 3 weeks now, and I've been struggling to get into my own rhythm while getting used to my new home. Mainly, I've realized that I really miss not having a trainer, which I had at home while prepping for my show. I need to find a good workout partner, but I'm really shy and not sure how to go about it. I'm curious to know what you all think would be the best strategy to get in with the hardcore gym rats without necessarily getting hit on. I know that sounds vain, but it's one of the things we as women encounter from time to time when we venture over into the weights. So far, I've only ever seen one or two other females working out, but none who lift heavy. I think my best strategy right now is to find some guys with whom I can train because I need to be pushed and also need a spotter when I'm doing some of my squats and pull-ups / chin-ups. I was thinking that there are going to be tons of guys from various sports leagues, teams, and the gym regularly who are serious about training, and I want to get to know them, but I'm not sure how best to go about it. This might seem cheesy, but I did post an online ad looking for a like-minded training partner, but didn't get any bites. What are your thoughts on the scenario? School starts this week. I'm very excited about it, but also feeling a bit insecure. Thanks a bunch, Linda.
Wow. The first part of it, you know, moving to like a new city and being 33 and starting school again. I've actually known a few people that have started school at like older ages or gone back to school at older ages. And age, to quote Aaliyah, is nothing but a number, you know, and you really don't necessarily think that younger people are not going to understand you or that, you know, you're not going to understand them because you're older and you can be very social and it doesn't have to be all, you know, beer pong, you know, and just don't shy away from that. You give it a shot, you know, and don't be afraid to hang out with the youth, and you never know. You never know what you're going to learn. So I just want to throw that in there. But as far as being in a gym and getting in with like the guys that you're working out with, I find the best thing for females is, one, make yourself known in the area, you know, like in the weight room area. You can be a regular visitor to it. But a really good way to kind of talk to somebody is to ask to work in, you know, like if, you know, even if maybe you don't, that's not the training you're doing. Maybe you can just kind of alter your program just a little for social capabilities. But, you know, if they're using a piece of equipment and there's someone who seemed to have kind of a style or a personality you think you could vibe with, you know, see what they're doing and then just be like, hey, you know, when they're doing the reps, can I work in with you? And do that a little bit, and while you're, you know, kind of in between working in, be like, you know, see if you can kind of get a feel for them. The problem is a lot of people don't really like to be talked to when they're training and working out. So it can be a little bit touchy to do this, but generally guys are very nice to ladies in the lifting room and are a welcome surprise. And it's not always because they want to hit on them. Mm-hmm. It's just because, you know, they kind of get to take off their shield a little bit. You know, they have to have that on so much when they're in a training, and women kind of break that down sometimes. And it can make for a weird, vulnerable time for a guy to kind of get in and talk to them a little bit. And same with a girl, too, if you do it in the right way. So, you know, ask to work in, kind of get known, and just don't be afraid to talk to people. You know, if you see something, you can kind of maybe ask a question, ask a pointer to. Maybe if you don't even need the pointer, just find a way to start a conversation with them. And it should really come naturally. If you're someone who's training, if you're someone who's obviously serious, people are going to respect you and they're going to see it right off the bat and will have no problem. Also, if you competed where you used to be, maybe, you know, think about maybe getting into that again, or at least going to the shows, talking to people. You've got to hang where your hobbies are. Yeah, and don't be afraid to do that, and don't be afraid to just jump in and bite with both teeth. The more timid you are, the worse it's going to be. So just act nonchalant, talk to people, and just go at it. And I think one of the easiest ways, though, is to kind of maybe work in your training and you know, ask for advice and stuff like that. And when you can afford to maybe get a trainer there, do that. And still try the ads, too. There's meetup.com. There's, you know, even Match and stuff like that. You know, you could put that you're looking for a friend and that you're looking for someone to train. There's Craigslist. You can say, I'm looking for a training partner. Make sure you're advertising in the right spots, because there's lots of people who meet that way as well. And it works out a lot. I know a lot of people who've met people off of Craigslist and now they have a training partner. So those are a few ideas. I don't know. What about you guys? The male perspective.
I was just going to, I'll go along the same lines as yourself and just say, actually, yesterday, one of my female clients who only comes out to the facility on Saturdays, who trains at a sports club right in Boston, was telling me that on several occasions, she's had random girls approach her as she's following her program, because she's doing unique stuff. I mean, I write her programming, so they see that she's doing unique stuff, and they ask if they can, you know, join in, you know, because she'll be doing like a quick 10-minute finisher, where I have her doing like, you know, rainbow deadlifts with med ball stomps or whatever. And they'll look at that, like, oh wow, that's kind of cool. And they on several occasions she's mentioned to me that she's had random girls just walk up to her, hey, do you mind if I jump in with you? And she's fine with that. Like, I mean, yeah, she'll have her iPod on, and she tends to be a little bit serious, but for the most part, people, I mean, the weight training community, especially when you're talking about people who are a little bit more serious about it, are, it's a small group of people. And mm-hmm. I know if I find somebody who's kind of training along the same lines as me and it has a like-mindedness as far as like how I like to train, I have no problems, you know, helping them out or vice versa. So I don't think people are as opposed to you approaching them as you think it is. But I think if you come across as having the demeanor of, hey, you're just curious and want to work in with somebody, I don't see any issues with that at all. And I think more often than not, people are going to be more than happy to allow you to jump in, so to speak.
Yeah, and
so,
especially with guys, as long as you're not dealing with, you know, it's a generalized term, but like meatheads, they're usually going to be impressed, and they're going to be really, really cool with you.
Yep.
You know, like, wow, you're front squatting. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it also really takes away the sexual aspect too. Funny enough, like it puts you on a respect colleague kind of level.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, and that takes care of the whole, you know, hit on you thing. And if not, then the guy's a douche and walk away.
Well, and I know that's a deterrent for a lot of women and why they don't go in the Freewood area, because they feel like the guys are going to be staring at them and like making fun of them or, you know, making comments. But honestly, like, I've never known a guy who's training in the quote unquote Freewood area who sees a girl coming in and starts doing her thing and make comment. I mean, I just think it's just like this huge, you know, fitness myth that I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I mean, yeah, there are some, you know, less than, you know, professional
guys out there. Funny, if I could just throw out, being in all the gyms that I've been in, I see more shady business happening in the machine area than I do in the Freeway area.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's always in the machine area that I see more shady stuff go down. And in the Freeway area, there's always like focus and determination. And I'm not saying that it can't exist.
Same thing with the cardio equipment too.
Yeah, I'm not saying it can't exist to some degree, but it's more than likely, like, funny enough, for the women in the gym, that's really your true safe zone. I've found it to be.
I think it just goes along with the light. I mean, and this is a very broad, you know, thing to say, and it's certainly not by any means absolutely true, but people who train in the Freewood area, generally speaking, tend to be a little bit more serious.
Yes, I agree.
And I think that's where it goes along lines of, like I said earlier, like, it's a tight niche population. You know, there's not many people who are squatting and deadlifting and doing, and then if they see someone else doing that, it's kind of like an in automatically.
Yeah.
You know, for lack of a better term. So, I think, yeah, she'll be fine. I think, and I know this question came in, I don't know, a week or so ago. So hopefully she's already kind of, you know, found that person to train with. But I think, yeah, this will help her.
And to be honest, I think, you know, don't worry about even the respect thing. You know, guys generally, when I talk to her, if I'm, you know, lifting and I see a woman using 5-pound dumbbells, I'm not really going to respect her as much as someone that I see doing like walking dumbbell lunges or doing, you know, actually doing pull-ups, something like that. Like, don't worry about that. You know, if people give you crap, they're douchebags, and you don't want to be lifting with them anyways. Tony, the next question for you. Lee, I'm going to have you read the next question that's from Joey for Tony.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Because Jonathan Fass is sick.
Wait, so you want me to read the question now?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry. My bad. Okay. So to Tony. Hey, guys and girl. What up? Question. I was speaking with a family friend who is a high level businessman and was explaining my role as a strength coach and trainer. He says to me, to be successful, you just have to make sure you service the crap out of your clients. He then tells a story on how his wife went to a massage parlor where they treated her exceptionally well, and when she went to another and she didn't get the same service, she went back to the original one in which she was treated by royalty. I've heard other coaches say to pamper your clients, but don't baby them. I would like to know what you guys do to service the hell out of your clients or pamper them. What do you do to keep them happy and coming back? Obviously, results and programming are number one, but what about those little things like birthday cards, article topics to help them achieve their goal, etc.? Thanks, Joey.
Yes, and I actually probably know who the Joey guy is that wrote this question in. But, you know, this can be a fairly elaborate response, and it can definitely be long-winded, but I'll try to keep it as concise as possible. I think first and foremost, when we're talking about servicing clients, the advantage of, you know, Cressy Performance and, you know, Eric, myself, and Brian is, you know, we kind of, when people walk into our facility, they kind of know what they're getting themselves into already, whether they've read my stuff or they've read Eric's or they've read Brian's. I mean, having, a reputation in the industry definitely helps, but certainly that doesn't mean we don't go out of our way to, you know, welcome people in and give them great service. I mean, certainly, as the old adage, what everyone would say is the client is always right. You know, and yes, results are definitely going to be the biggest thing that we could do for our clients. But yeah, we've actually gotten into the mindset of, yeah, we send out Christmas cards every year to all our active clients. We do Pete, our business manager, is actually in the process. He's sending out cards, like when someone goes through an evaluation, of sending, you know, a thank you card for that and saying, you know, we hope to see you soon. I mean, little stuff like that do matter. You know, I think that's what separates us a lot from like the mainstream commercial gyms. It's kind of like comparing McDonald's to a Capital Grill. You know, we're the Capital Grill of the fitness industry. Like, people know that what they're getting themselves into when they come in. They know they're going to get great service. They know that the program is going to be on point, and we're going to take their concerns and questions all the time. Like, you know, I know, being that I've been a trainer for X amount of years, I mean, I learn as I go too. And rather than, I mean, I'm sure Kevin can kind of go along with this. You know, I used to be the guy that when I started doing an evaluation with a client, I used to always try to prove them wrong. You know, oh, what have you been doing? Oh, that's wrong. That's completely wrong. You're doing body part splits. That's stupid. And rather than doing that, I just try to really make it a point of saying, you know, oh, okay, that's great, but you know, we're going to try to show you some new things and try to show you, you know, some stuff that's going to get you some results, help you feeling better, you know, improve your movement quality and whatnot. But first and foremost, yeah, it's just being this industry is just as much about being a people person as it is knowing, you know, what the glute medius does. A lot of times people come in and hang out and they want to, you know, just kind of shoot the shit, so to speak. And I know I just swore, but certainly, yeah, it's, I mean, that's a lot of what we do at Cressy Performance. I mean, you know, it is, like I said, comparing McDonald's to a Capital Grill. And I'm sure Kevin can kind of relate a lot with that with working at BSC, so.
Well, here's a couple things. Again, the last couple of weeks I've been talking about, sessions and things get slow in the summer, so I've kind of changed things up a little bit in terms of this. But one of the things that my clients are now a huge fan of is I send out a weekly newsletter that goes to just my clients. Mm-hmm. I it's kind of like a blog post that I write just for my clients, and you know, topics. It does a couple of things. One, it allows me to keep them updated on my schedule, so they know if, you know, I can't train on Wednesday, it's going to let them know for the next week. It's going to help them plan their sessions. And number two, it also, again, it allows me to write them like a blog post. And when we do that, I'm losing my train of thought as I'm trying to pull one up right now. When I do that, it's usually just, you know, 300-500 words. It's nothing, you know, too crazy or elaborate. But, you know, I might have a client come up to me and say, yeah, you know, like, it sucks. Like, there was a birthday at the office today, and, you know, I kind of gave in, and I had a slice of cake. And, you know, so I'm like, oh, well, here's a couple of things that you can do to make it easier to avoid that stuff at work. And just wrote a thing called Death Savers, where, you know, I give them some suggestions on what can help stave off hunger a little bit, especially if someone brings in an order of Chinese food and that kind of smell just, you know, engulfs the office. And you're just like, holy crap, I want Chinese food. I want some kind of fast food now. You know, keeping stuff like seltzer water or sugar-free gum and you know, a bag of nuts, keeping a piece of fruit, beef jerky. Like, there's so many things you can do in terms of just making life at the office a little bit easier. And even going into talking about mobility, when you talk about someone sitting at a desk for 3 hours at a time, sitting at there from their desk from 9 to noon and then going to have lunch and then sitting down again from, you know, 1 to 5 or whatever it may be. You know, so little things like that, and my clients are a huge fan of that. They forward them to other people, which, you know, I'm not necessarily planning on getting any, what's it called, like recommendations through that, but, you know, unfortunately, a lot of my clients, they don't have other coworkers that go to the gym, but, you know, if they forward it to a friend and like, oh, I really like that stuff, like, you know, maybe I'll look at Kevin's online personal training services, or maybe I'll see if I can come into his club and see what memberships cost and start working with him. You know, like little things like that, getting referrals through that and just encouraging my the people in the newsletter, my clients, to just forward that to as many people as they want. You know, the information's not just good for them. It could be good for their cousin that's also trying to lose weight, or it could be good for their buddy that also likes to lift. You know, something like that is really good, and it's just giving some added value to what they're already getting has been huge. And doing those little things like emailing every other day, like I think that just making sure there's always a connection, you're always checking in, and, you know, it lets them know that you care. And that's like my way of, I don't do Christmas or holiday cards. Obviously, I haven't gotten to that point, but, you know, you just make sure that they know that you're always, you know, you care about it, and you take your job seriously, and that this isn't just some part-time gig for you where you're showing up. And like, the thing that bugs me a lot is when trainers show up and they write the programs for their clients 5 minutes before their clients get there. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? You don't have any plan. You've had this client for 3 months. You know they come on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you write their program 5 minutes before they come on a sheet of paper. Like, that's just incredibly unprofessional. It makes no sense to me. Like, you know, clean it up and just show that you actually care and you're taking your job seriously. Long-winded.
Yeah.
I know.
No, yeah. I mean, I was going to actually elaborate on that as well. I think there's a certain level of professionalism that a lot of trainers lack, you know, whether it's appearance, showing up on time, you know, writing lackluster programs. I know it obviously every client gets an individualized program every month.
And that's the other thing, and I'm going to butt in really quickly, but there was one trainer that I saw that did the same goddamn program with five different clients completely different. No, and they did like dumb crap, and it just boggles my mind. I'm like, seriously, you don't think people are going to catch on that they see you doing the same exact thing?
But they don't, and that's, you know, I worked at a gym in which that they didn't even write programs. They literally worked off of the cards. And, you know, when they would come in with the trainer to see the trainer would take them through the exact same, you know, leg extension, fly, you know, et cetera, mm-hmm. over and over again. And they would run through the cards, every client, like multiple different trainers with different clients would run through that. And I would be, you know, off in the weight room or in the cardio room working with people. And, you know, they'd give me crappy looks. And the clients themselves don't even understand. But that's what I was going to jump in and say with, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard Tony say, or you know, say, Kevin, oh, you know, what are you doing right now? I'm writing programs, you know, at like 8 o'clock at night for, you know, a big amount of time. And I've spent so much time customizing my programs, and that alone, just customization. Just the simple act of customization means so much to people, because they're like, wow, you're actually looking at me as a person and what I need. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Christmas cards and I do all that kind of stuff too. I do, like, you know, gifts at Christmas sometimes, and I, you know, I do like little things and try and take care of my clients as well. So I'm big in that kind of stuff too. And thank yous. And, but at the end of the day, results and customization just make it so obvious what the other people aren't once you realize it and you've had that. So, yeah, totally agree.
I mean, it just goes back to that saying, no one cares how much you know till they know how much you care.
Yeah,
And, you know, I think that whole customization programming goes a really, really long way. I mean, every week, you know, I'm writing X amount of programs every week, individualized programs for however many clients that we have. And, you know, I make it a point each week, because we get a lot of clients that only come in once a week. So I'll ask how their week went, do they have any questions, concerns, and they appreciate that. I mean, it's just really how you, like you said, about being a people person. I mean, if you're just a trainer that's going through the motions, you know, putting them through a circuit, I mean, people are going to see that. That's what gives a lot of us that bad name and bad reputation in the first place. You know, if people, you know, see that you actually care that you're about getting them results, I mean, that's undoubtedly going to go a long ways in helping you, you know, come across as giving exceptional service.
Hmm. We could do a whole podcast on this.
Oh, I mean, you could talk about this topic an hour easily.
Yeah. But let's go to another question and. actually, Lee, if you want to ask that question from Chance.
Alrighty. One second. Can't find Chance.
Doing it live. Chance. Doing it live.
We're doing it live. Okay, got it, got it. Sorry. Okay, Kevin. Oh, yeah, Kevin. I work at a big health club type gym as a trainer as well. And ever since your little bathroom story last week, I can't go in the bathroom without picturing a hairy fat guy standing naked over the sink making the wonderful noises you so eloquently described. So I thank you for that because now I laugh every day in that bathroom. On another note, I wanted to get your opinions on something. I get a lot of clients that are looking to lose weight and tone up. Many of them I see 3 days a week and only have 30 minutes to work with them. I tend to have a strength day, a metabolic training day, and a third day where I mix it up. I wanted to hear your opinion on these types of method and use your and what your weight loss clients and how much you put into strength training versus metabolic training, Chance.
This is a great question. I think we can all hit on this and we'll make this the last question. The setup that I have for my clients varies greatly. Well, not that greatly, but depending on how many times I see them per week, their setup is going to change a little bit. You know, I have some people that come 4 days a week, and I have some people I see once a week, and I have some people that I see a half an hour a week. So things change greatly. So let's start with that half an hour person. If you have a half an hour to work with them 3 days a week, that half an hour is going to be strictly strength training for the most part with me. Because if I have them do any kind of, you know, actual like cardio, if I have them do any intervals or if I have them do any, like Tony, you know, calls them finishers, I'm usually going to have them do those on their own. And that could involve, you know, walking on the treadmill for 15 minutes. It could have them doing some intervals. It could have them doing like some kind of you know, a med ball circuit. It could have them doing like mountain climbers. And generally, if I even prescribe that, it's going to be done in the vicinity where I'm going to be anyway. So I can just make sure I keep an eye on them for those next 5 or 10 minutes to make sure they're doing it properly and they're doing them right. But generally, if we talk about that 1 to 3 days per week, and I'm going to see them for about an hour, it's going to be about 45 minutes of strength training, and then I'll do some kind of a finisher that might be pushing the sled, it might be med ball work, it might be mountain climbers, it could be something fun that we put together, like some kind of a circuit that is going to be timed, so we make it like a competition, you know, allows them to see some kind of improvement every single week, which I think is fantastic. And at some point, you know, people are only going to want to do, you know, interval training so many times. They're only going to want to, you know, finish up with metabolic stuff so many times. So you have to make sure you're keeping it fresh for them. But, you know, I don't set it up as like a day where you do strength training day or a day where you do, you know, quote, metabolic training one day or one day where you do, you know, focus on just weight loss training. Like, it's all, why can't it all be the same thing? Why can't we work it all together into that time period? And, you know, the reason that you're there is you're there for two things in my mind. You're there, they're paying for the program that you're writing for them. That's, again, why I usually get pissed off when people throw together programs 2 minutes before they see a client. The other thing is you're there to make sure they don't do anything stupid and hurt themselves. Those are pretty much the two reasons you're there. You know, if you want to be nice and make the third one as some kind of an encouragement or someone for them to talk to while you're there and listen to them, okay, that's number three. But as long as you're doing those things and you're doing those things properly, you know, they're going to get results, you know, as long as they're doing things outside of the gym as well, the other 23 hours. But now, I don't think you have to do metabolic training. I don't think you have to do, you know, I split it up into a day where you do a fat loss day and one day where you do a weight training day. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, that's we're talking about the same stuff here. So just set it up. If you have an hour, make 45 minutes or even all 60 of those minutes, make those strength training. Make sure you get everything you need to get done. And if you have some extra time, that's when, you know, if I have some extra time with a client, like if it's on a Friday or Saturday, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, let's do some buys and tries. Let's do some arm stuff because, you know, it's sun's out, guns out. It's Friday. Let's do that. It's not that funny. You know, or like, you know, if we have some time, I've one of my clients plays in a basketball league. I'm like, all right, we got 10 or 15 minutes. Let's jump into the basketball court and let's do some shooting drills for 10 or 15 minutes. Changes it up, gives them something else to do. And, you know, I'm lucky I have so much, I have tons of stuff at my disposal to do those things. But, no, you're overthinking it. Like, metabolic training. I just don't like that distinction of doing a day of training to stoke your metabolism. I think that sounds dumb. Not calling you a chance. I know a lot of people use it. I just don't like it. It's the same thing. If you're doing any kind of weightlifting, technically you're going to end up burning more calories, right? So, Lee, what do you think? Did I run?
You know, I loved your answer. I think it's the perfect answer. And it was you hit on it, but the first thing I thought was don't have a strength day and a metabolic day. Like, it shouldn't work like that. You know, and I usually focus on when I'm working with people, you know, I always kind of have like kind of a map set on my mind. I kind of want to work them through these progressions. I see they have these things and I want to work with this kind of over time. And, you know, depending on the client, and it just really varies. But, you know, if I'm meeting with a client and I have a limited amount of time, my big focus is, you know, working on their weaknesses. You know, like, what are their weaknesses? Are they having, you know, what does your client have the biggest problem with, you know, be it structurally or be it, you know, they really have a hard time doing any cardio. And there's some clients that have become almost, you know, cardio conditioning clients because they can take care of the lifting on their own. They just cannot get through those cardio sessions on their own. Like, they hate it. And that's what they need me for. And I become really a 30-minute motivator to get them through that session, not on a treadmill, of course. Like, I, you know, devise it into, you know, be it like sled pulls or, you know, whatever, medicine ball throws, stuff like that, just fun things to like mix it up. But, you know, just it sounds to me a little bit like you're trying to do what you want to do, not what they want to do. And or what they need, like, you have a template that you're going by and you're like, I'm not going to budge from my template. How am I going to work them in my template? Stop doing that. Stop trying to work them into your template. It doesn't work that way. You do what you need to do for them and their needs and assess it based on an individual thing as it comes. So, but I think that you hit it perfectly, Kevin. And I also hate the whole metabolic training thing because it's all metabolic. So it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, good answer.
T-Bone.
I cannot elaborate any more succinctly than you guys just did. So,
all right, then we're going to end the show. Yeah. No, that's all right. I have to pee again.
Considering they have an epic off-topic to listen to after this, yeah, that's a good point to sign off.
Yeah.
All right.
You need a new bladder, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm going to look into some bladder replacement therapy after we wrap up this show. I just want, like, I want to be able to hold more, you know, Lee?
I know. And you know what? Maybe there's like a reverse kind of gastric bypass for the bladder, like, that extends it instead, you know, some sort of like reverse of that.
That'd be cool. It's just gonna look like I have like a little miniature basketball.
Yeah, why not? You know, you can call it the eighth ab.
Hell yeah. Be popping out. All right, so that's gonna do it for this episode. Again, with the off topic, I just want to mention that we do talk about a lot of fitness stuff in the off topic this week. Surprisingly, that's why it's so long. We kind of go off onto a tangent in there, so you might want to stick around for that if you don't normally do. And hopefully you had time to finish this episode. The other thing, again, episode 150, please send in those clips or just send in the timestamps. I'd say if it's from 5:31 to 6:80, or I guess you wouldn't go in the 80s, like 6:23.
Yeah, that was good. At least you recovered it.
I did. Send those in, and I'm going to send you guys some t-shirts. T-shirts are going to be the real deal. And even what I'm going to do is, for some of those select few, I'm also going to send you LiftStrong bracelets as well, because you have to order a pack of 10, and I have 9 of them in my desk. So I want to give those away somehow, and this is how we're going to do it. And if you haven't already, please go over to the EliteFTS.com page and check out the LiftStrong apparel. It's very cool stuff. Tony saw me wearing some of that yesterday. He goes, man, what's that? I didn't even get a free t-shirt, and I wrote an article for that. I'm like, dude, you gotta donate some money, bro.
Yeah.
You got to hook them up. Or someone even said that to the gym. Like, actually, a lot of people, I mean, you guys, if you start wearing these, people are going to be asking about it, and they're going to want to pick them up. A lot of people at the gym have been asking me about it, and they're really cool shirts. They came out well, and you're going to be helping a great cause as well. And you know, we all know someone who's been afflicted with leukemia and lymphoma, or someone that's had cancer. So please help the cause, and let's see if we can kick this thing's ass. And I think that's it. Don't forget to check out don't check out Tony's Boston Herald thing, because it doesn't matter anymore. And Tony, you're
no longer sponsored.
Well, no, it's still up. It's going to be it's still a couple of weeks.
Is this just because you lost your sponsorship by Reebok?
No. I forgot about that.
That was like a whole 4 weeks it was sponsored by
Reebok. I know.
That was awesome.
It's kind of a big deal for a little while.
You were. You're almost like the John Phillips of blogging. Exactly.
Frickin' chirping.
Hopefully people got that. All right, check out thefitcast.com. Check out Lee's site at leepeel.com. Please go on to iTunes, subscribe, submit a review, preferably 5 stars, so we can go and get on top of those leaderboards out there. And until next week, for John, all I'm going to say is, we got to do a pink dumbbell award. And I'm going to do it in honor of John. So I'm going to edit in the music. I swear to God, I will.
Yeah, sure, you will, Kevin.
I might. So I'm going to give away the pink dumbbell award this week to... I'm not going to give it to Linda. Not to Linda. Although I thought she had a good question. I'm not going to give it to Linda.
Way to make Linda feel bad now. Sorry, Linda. We're not giving it to you. You just weren't good enough.
I'm not going to give it to Chance. Sorry, Chance. I'm going to give it to...
Call everybody.
You know, I was... Unfortunately, we didn't get to the question that I would have done in an English accent. And I was gonna give it to that person because it would have been funny. And, no, I can't give it to that person. Who do you guys think? Should we give it to Linda?
Yeah, since you insulted her already.
I'm
she needs
sorry,
friends.
Linda.
You know, she can wear the FitCast t-shirt in the gym.
Bam. Linda,
there you go.
Yours.
Linda,
yours.
Congratulations, even though he insulted you the first time around.
Thank Lee Peel. Yeah. And subscribe to her podcast, Ashley. That's how you can thank her. All right. That's it, everyone. Thanks again for listening. You got 2 hours of the FitCast this week. Don't complain. We'll see you next week, episode 150. Tons of epic, great stuff, I promise. Please don't forget to submit those times and those suggestions for clips to use. And until next time, don't forget to have your pets spayed and neutered. We'll see you on The Price is Right. And we're going to end with The Price is Right.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Beautiful.
Alright, welcome to the Off Topic. We are back this week. It is Kevin, John. Not John.
Not here. Kevin.
Kevin, Lee Peel, and Tony Gentlecore.
Yes.
Tony, we haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. Well, I saw you yesterday, so we were able to catch up a little bit yesterday when you came to train.
Do you feel like you had plenty of preparation time this week?
Well, yeah, I mean, about 5 minutes, because like I said earlier, I got up early to go to get a workout in before we started taping the show. So
You're a good sport.
I've looked over the questions for a good 5 minutes, so
good.
Hopefully I won't suck too much. Well, people are listening to this after the fact, so we'll see.
You did, yeah.
I'm sure I was awesome. I know, so.
Well, there's literally people that listen to the off-topic that have, like, emailed us and said, yeah, listen to the off-topic before you even do the show.
Oh, they do that?
Which is kind of confusing, because if you want, like, a show that talks about stuff that doesn't have to do with fitness, there's probably better shows out there for it. Although
Are there people who do podcasts that just talk about random stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know there's relationship podcasts and sex podcasts.
Checking out the sex podcast.
No.
I was battling the sex is fun podcast.
Trying out
some
new moves every week on the podcast. But
oh yeah, Lee, you are fighting with that podcast. So.
I was fighting with Sex is Fun, but they keep winning. Keep getting on top. That's all I'm going to have today.
Aren't the most popular ones the yoga ones?
Number one is Fit Music. It's like, and it will always be on top. It's like a mix of just like music for people to listen to while they're mostly jogging or yogging.
Yes. It's free, like, kind of stuff, and it's free. So people, that's always going to be on top.
And it's so weird because the list is just day to day. Like, one day you could be up on number 10, the next day you could be out of the top 25. Like, it's...
What's the highest that FitCast has been?
Oh, God, I've seen it, in health section, I've seen it at, 15. And then in the fitness and nutrition, I've seen it at 7. I've seen it that high before.
Yeah, it usually bumps up on Mondays when, or if we have, a guest on, and they promote the link for it.
What are you drinking?
I'm just guzzling some green tea. That's how I get ready for football. And yesterday was particularly bad. Like, I had Dairy Queen yesterday, which was like a blast of the past back to my childhood.
I've never been to a Dairy Queen.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't either. Uh-huh. Or Baskin Robbins. I've only been to Cold Stone.
Cold Stone. I do go. I'm a big fan of Cold Stone.
Yeah. Tony, so please continue.
Tony,
I'll let you finish your story. Sorry, Kevin.
No, that's pretty much it. But we're going to need, because your mic keeps going down a little bit, and this is the same thing for Lee. Whenever I say...
we have a code now? Are we making a code?
No, we're going to have a code, because I don't like interrupting the show. This is going to be the code. No, that can't be the code. What can it be?
Yeah, you do that, naturally. And then I'm going to be like, oh, shit.
Or I'll be like,
when it goes down, what am I supposed to do?
You turn it back up.
Now that's as high as it goes. Hold on a second. Where is the thing?
Are you on Windows?
Yeah.
Oh, this is so interesting.
We're getting star ratings for this one.
I go down to the bottom right hand.
But I'm not sure. Do I increase the volume on my computer or on the actual mic?
If it's the mic that I gave you, you have to do it on the computer.
Okay, so this is as high as it goes right here.
But not the, computer, but not, the... It has to be on your Skype computer.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Where
on the Skype menu does it... Do I go to, volume?
Oh, God.
Okay,
tools.
Fuck it.
Okay. Chat.
Tools.
Call. Personally,
all right.
I don't know where it is.
Mute microphone. I don't want that.
Okay, I'm gonna give away a free T-shirt for whatever listener can tell me what this sound is. I'm gonna give you a free T-shirt.
Oh my god, I'm becoming a really bad.
No, here we go. This is how I'm gonna help. I'm gonna make up for it.
Oh. Oh my god, I want to play.
Do you know what that is?
No, but I love those games where you have to guess the sound. I don't know why. I just really get excited. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to figure it out.
All right, give it one more shot because the thing kind of messed up.
Okay. definitely sounded like something taking off.
Oh, kind of off there, a little cold.
Hey, how's my voice now, by the way?
Your voice? Is that better? No. This is what, Tony, I'm going to tell you to go to the bottom right-hand corner of your Windows toolbar. You should see a little speaker. I want you to double-click.
Well, yeah, I got that. Just right there. Now, that's helped as high as it goes.
Okay, but you have the USB microphone selected?
I have my Windows default device is my Logitech USB headset.
And the,
there, I just switched it to that.
Oh, there we go.
Is that better?
That's better, thank you.
Okay, got you. Okay, I got it fixed. So I can actually turn the volume down a little bit because you're like really loud.
Yeah, is but that
can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Getting a little bit of myself on the feedback, but that's all right.
Okay, all right, got you. Okay, I'm all set now. Sorry. So this is like the worst off-topic ever.
Yeah, this is the...
No, I gave away a free t-shirt. It's good.
Well, that's true. There was the weird noise game thing. That was fun. Oh, see, now that's
different.
Now I know what it is. Oh.
That's just me playing around with my iPhone.
It's just well, now you're confusing the listeners.
That's not the sound. The other sound...
I realize that now. I realize
that. Kevin, how was it like being back at SCP yesterday training?
It was awesome. It's been a while, and
you're like a rock star when you walk in. Everyone's like, "Kevin!" Like all the clients. I was actually kind of impressed.
I don't remember it that way. I mean, Carrie was kind of like that, but but yeah, no, it was good. I back squatted yesterday, and it's nice because I didn't feel like the weakest person in the world when I was doing that, so.
Yeah, we weren't judging you. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
you trained while we were clients were there, so I didn't watch your entire workout. So.
Yeah, but I know Eric's not happy with my strength so much, but.
We did talk about that because we're gonna try to get your bench up to 300, and I told you have to do when you attempt it, you have to do it at CP.
Yeah, and we'll get there, but the goal is to do it without my body weight going up necessarily, or my body fat going up. So it should be fun. And getting back into doing like strength program is kicking the shit out of me. It's kicking my ass. Like today, I feel like
fast.
I got hit by a truck yesterday.
It will come back fast.
Yeah, and you know it's nice. Like it's not a lot, but doing like four sets of six on back squat, like. Went up to 245 yesterday. You know, it feels pretty good, and it's a lot better than front squatting. Well, at least mentally, like it just feels so much different. I just feel so much more solid, and I haven't back squatted in such a long time. I talked a little bit about this last week, but I just haven't been doing it because I literally couldn't externally rotate, you know, comfortably to get my arms back there. But ever since I did the Destination Ab stuff. With Lee, I put a lot more time and effort into my mobility work on my off days.
Movement quality.
Yeah, and it's been huge. But, you know, it's kind of it's a different beast than what I was doing before. And it's fun. At the same time, the workouts feel a lot longer, even though they're shorter. And, you know, there's nothing more torturous than looking at your program and knowing that you're going to have to trap bar deadlift and right after do front squat reverse lunges.
Oh, well, I don't know if you, I think Eric posted it in his blog yesterday, like he's doing this deadlift specialization routine now for like the next month. And I kind of jumped in with him yesterday after we were done training people. And we did 10 sets of one of conventional deadlift. He worked with 510, I worked with 480. And then today, because I'm stupid, I did five sets of three deadlifts. And then I put front squats in after that.
So your back is doing pretty well, huh?
Well, no, I feel pretty good. But Eric was struggling yesterday because his hands were just beat up from pulling four times in 1 week. But surprisingly, I wasn't too bad today when I went to the BSC, but... You know, he was like, "Yeah, I'm doing 10 sets of 1 today." I was like, "Oh, I'll jump in, whatever." So that's always fun. Yeah. But you'll get it back quick.
No, well, you know, we'll see. I think
you're gonna try to make it out. What once once a month or something like that, or a little bit more often?
You know, maybe once a week. The thing that is really, and this is like so inside baseball that people don't give a shit about, but the, you know, things that as a commercial club, they pick up quite a bit into September, and I'm having one of my busiest months right now. So I'm like booked from 2 to 9 p.m. 4 or 5 days a week right now, which is fantastic. Like it's so nice. I mean, during the summer, some weeks I was working like 13 hours a week.
Yeah. Summer's always tough.
Yeah.
Summer's tough.
But now things are picked back up. You know, people aren't traveling as much. People are, you know, we have a lot of new members at the gym. And I think, you know, some of the trainers are looking at leaving because it's just our club, unfortunately, is not where it's supposed to be. And they kind of hired too many trainers.
Yeah.
So there's too many fishing rods in the pond. That's my analogy. I just made it up. Did you like that?
Sound a little kinky.
You know, so that, and you know, I'm just trying to do little tricks here and there to try to pick up more clients, which has been working. But anyways, I don't know where I'm going there. But what did you guys think of the ab solo? I talked to Tony about that. But Lee, did you get to look at the ab solo?
Yeah, because it's not a gym that I work at, but it's at the gym that I go to, like here locally. And the first time I saw it, because it's funny, I was doing the tour, and they had the row machines too that have the video games on them.
Oh yeah,
have you seen those?
Oh yeah, we got one of those too.
Okay, and then like right next to the row machine with the video game, there was like the ab solos, and I'm like, wow, like I feel like I'm, you know, in like a little bit of an arcade. But there's always these guys that battle the ab solo in my gym. They get on the other side and they just start go, and it's the loudest, most obnoxious noise.
It's gotta be obnoxious.
It's super loud. Well, you can hear in the video that it's super loud if you haven't seen it.
I mean, it's really loud and it's really obnoxious, and it's not doing anything. And I mean, I like to point and laugh and watch, but yeah.
Well, you even like rebound at the bottom. Like it's spring loaded at the bottom to help.
I know. Yeah. It's the weirdest. I really don't. Yeah. But, I'm not, I did try it, and it was mildly enjoyable from a, like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese standpoint.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm surprised Russ Shin saw Abelmore.
Well, the only problem that it kind of bugs me is that, you know, it's not necessarily the club specifically that I work at. It's more of like a corporate thing that makes decisions on buying this stuff. It's like it's not anyone at our club that makes these decisions, but you know, like they'll send us a $1,500 ab solo, but in our budget, we don't have enough money to replace the bent barbell in our squat rack. It's actually bent. So when you do a front squat, it will literally roll down your arms.
Well, I know when I worked at Sports Club LA, I mean, we used to get a lot of vendors who would come in and let us like have a trial run with certain equipment. So is this an actual piece of equipment that's staying, or is it more of like a trial run type of thing?
Yeah, it's staying, and it's the you know, someday I'll make a video if the gym's empty enough, and I'll show you kind of like our weight training floor. But there's literally 6 machines dedicated for abs,
mm-hmm.
On that floor, but we still have a pretty nice club. We don't have, you know, in a perfect world, we would just A, have a power rack. We would B, have some more barbells. And what we have in our benches, and the only one place where we have an actual Olympic bar is in our squat rack. But for the benches, like the incline and our decline barbell benches, all they have is like these mini barbells.
Really?
They're like, they're, I think they're 3/4 long. So even if someone is using the squat rack, and you know, I want to still front squat with a client, I can't even grab one of those barbells and throw it in the 3D Smith machine and use that because it's not long enough to place into the grooves.
That's so literally, you only have one Olympic size barbell in the entire place,
and it's bent. Yeah, we used to have two, but the other one bent too because they bought like they didn't buy good barbells. They just bought like the cheapest one from Perform Better. But again, that's not, it's not, it's like what we had when the gym opened.
Yeah.
You know, it's, And unfortunately, like, if you buy a good barbell, it should never bend. I mean, it's not like we have people putting up 800 pounds to deadlift and to squat. Right. Like, there's some... All right, I'm going to talk about this really quickly. It's just a really short rant. But there's some super douchebag, and I'm going to get really pissed right now because I'm going to bring this story up. But there's this super douchebag who's a trainer at another club, and he's been fired twice. He's worked at literally every club chain as a personal trainer. I hope I don't say this too much, but clear steroid user. He juices like a mother. And he's got like... He basically has a chin that connects to his chest because he has no neck. His neck just is one solid mass that connects his chin to the rest of his body. But anyways, he starts warming up, and I'm like, I'm trap bar deadlifting. I'm just kind of chilling out. I don't like to talk to anyone. I don't like to answer questions when I'm lifting. I try to look like I'm in the worst mood ever when I'm lifting, just so I don't get bothered, because I have 90 minutes to train, or whatever it is, 2 hours to train before my clients. So, I'm lifting, and he walks over with his gym bag. You know, it's always a sign when they walk over and they carry a gym bag with a gallon of colored water. And he goes over to the squat rack. I'm like, oh man, this guy looks pretty strong. He's putting some weight up. Maybe he's gonna, like, he starts off with 225 pounds. Like, he's warming up with that. I'm like, oh, maybe this guy's gonna deadlift. Maybe I'm actually gonna see something that, it's gonna be cool. And he starts doing explosive shrugs. And as you know, he'll do eight, and then he'll throw more plates on. He ended up throwing, and I don't know if this is one of the reasons why the bar is bent. But he had five plates on each side, which I guess is like what, almost 500 pounds. Is that right?
Yeah.
So anyways, he starts doing these explosive shrugs, and he was doing them so fast, and he couldn't hold on to the bar. He comes up to the top, and the bar just falls out of his hands, and he just puts a dent into our squat rack on the, like, the little lip, the long lip that you step into. And, you know, that could be another reason why he broke the bar. And then he had the nerve to come over and ask me to use my chalk. I'm like, dude, you shouldn't be lifting that anyways. You look like a jackass. But sorry, that's my story that, again, is just for me to tell people and makes no sense for most of you out there. But if you know a person like that, kick them in the balls and make sure they can't procreate. Is that too much? Did I go too far with that? Okay, good.
No, not at all.
Good.
I'm not for that guy.
Hey, Lee.
Totally deserves it.
Lee, can we talk about this t-shirt before we wrap up the off-topic? Gratuitous boob shot that I didn't even hear about until I listened to your podcast.
I didn't even know about it until yesterday.
Yeah, and I had to tell Tony.
I went right on Facebook right when you showed it to me.
It was disgusting. That's just great. That's great. No, well, like, I didn't even realize that it was that boob-ish. Like, it didn't. I was thinking, oh, let me make sure to get the one up Lee, you know, because I want to make sure that I get that really good. And I was using like a camera phone, and I was like, oh, you know, I got it really good. I didn't even really look at it after I uploaded it, and then I see it's like, oh, you have like 15 messages and you know, 20 replies, whatever. And I was like, wow, like, I guess they really thought it was funny. And then I read them, and I realize that they're all about my boobs. And like,
you know, you got some internet stalker out there that has like that posted on his wall somewhere or something.
I just think it's, they're not even my boobs, but you know, it's okay because my fake boobs look good on me. But you know, that's, I just think it's really funny. But it was really funny when I got it, and I got this big note, and it was just, you know, sweet. And everyone said, like, I can't go anywhere online virtually without someone, you know, writing in the message, "What up, Lee?" So you've started it. A big craze, Kevin. You really have.
And that, you've gone viral.
Yeah, it has. It has gone viral. It's gone viral.
And I want to ask you what's up, because when we do the main show, because you had a rant of your own on your podcast last week, or maybe it's the week before that, about people asking for help in their training or nutrition. Then if they don't like your suggestions, they say, oh, no, I'd rather not do that.
Yeah, I did rant about that, didn't I? It gets on my last nerves. I just want to ask.
Episode 13, Lee, the last one?
I don't know. I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I haven't listened to it yet.
Well, it's funny because, and I got, I don't know if they listen to this. It's a night, but someone asked me for a refund, and I really don't get refunds much. Like I literally have like a very low rate, but someone sent me like a refund request. It's like, oh, I've read all this. You know, I know everything about this. Like I don't need any of this. And I'm just like, well, why'd you buy the book? You know, like, why'd you buy the book? Like, you're on the page, you read, and we're going to talk about this too, but you read all my, like, you know, advertising hoopla, and you get to the bottom, you paid for it because you think that you need it, yet all of a sudden you realize that you don't. And I've gotten literally 5 people now who have refunded, then read it because, you know, it's a digital thing, you can keep it, it's not like I can take it back from you. Then, like, read it later, wrote me back and said, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and end up, like, buying it again.
Mm.
Good.
You know, and it's just, I just think it's, but you ever get that? Like, you know, people go up to your gym and like, hey, you know, like what should I do here? And you're like, you go through all the trouble, like explaining something to them and then walk away. They don't, you know, and you see that they don't take the advice in any way, shape, or form. But why'd you ask?
Well, that's that when I was listening to that, it reminded me of a guy that came up to me a week ago. He's like, oh man, can you show me some stuff I can do for my chest? I'm like, oh, you know, like here, there's some cool stuff you can do. You can do push-ups with, you know, the super bands, you know, add some resistance there, do some more explosive. You should do some more speed bench movements or do something a little bit more speed because I was, you know, wasn't really paying attention to him. But everything he did in his, quote, chest day was incredibly slow. Like, he was like a 70-year-old in everything that he was doing. I'm like, oh, you know, just, you know, make sure you're keeping the speed up and, you know, see what happens and, you know, kind of go away from the flies and do a little bit more dumbbell work. You can do more push-ups. Like, push-ups are fantastic. Like, you won't you have no idea how you can build mass on your upper body with just doing push-ups. He's like, oh no, like, I'm past push-ups. Like, what else you have?
Like, oh wow. Oh, yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten that. Actually, I've gotten that a lot. Like, well, oh, push-ups.
They come across as like too wussy to do, but you know what, like, you can, push-ups are a staple at where I work, and you can make them harder, but you people will be surprised. Like, you ask them to do a push-up, and it looks atrocious.
Correctly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's mm-hmm. It's horrible. So, yeah, that's pretty funny.
The guy was out of shape. He was like, putting up.
Oh, push-ups are too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, too easy. Too easy.
I'm like, sorry, dude, you're
too
250.
And then he goes to the fly machine and the machine bench press.
Yeah. No, that's what he said. He's like, oh, well, what do you have for machines? I'm like,
really?
You want to use a machine, bro? You want to? Here, why don't you go to the express line? You can use the express line because that's where all the cool kids build their chest.
Oh no! Is
I'm
that
so
like your,
gonna get
your
fired.
The label of like your machines and the rounds that you do them?
No, that's the we have like every Boston Sports Club has like 8 machines that are set up in a circuit that beginners can use. And you know, for beginners and people that are new to weight training, you know, it isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. It gets them going. And you know, we always have trainers there so they can talk to someone and ask questions. But if you've been training for, this guy was, I don't know, early mid 40s, and he was like a big dude. He was like 6'4", 6'5", pretty good build, but he's like, well, basically my chest is sagging now and I need to put more mass in my upper chest. Like, bro, come on, man.
You know what I would have told him? I would have told him to work his back more.
No, that's not, well, I also said like, oh, well, what do you do for back? Like, what are you doing today? He's like, oh no, I'm doing, you know, barbell bench, and I'm going to incline bench, then I'm going to decline bench, and then I was just, you know, I'm done with that. Like, is there anything else you think I should do? I'm like, oh.
How old did you say this guy was?
40, 45.
Hey, he's probably been doing the same routine for the past 15 years.
Well, yeah, there's that. And, you know, the other complaint he brought up was like, oh, yeah, I only have like roughly 30 to maybe 45 minutes to work out because he works out during his lunch break. And I'm like, all right, then why are you fucking, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to swear. Why are you barbell benching? You know, at 3 different angles, and that's your workout. Like, what is that? You know, you can actually get some much better workout. Just use some dumbbells. You can, you know, too bad we don't have chains, but we do have super bands. So, I'm sorry. Like, if that dude even threw the half-inch super band around his back and can knock out 12 push-ups incredibly fast, I would have been blown away, let alone like the 1 inch. Or, I'm not. What am I thinking? 1 inch? Yeah, 1 inch. I don't know thicknesses. Lengths. Whatever. We've been talking for 25 minutes. Do you guys want to do a show?
I guess. Whatever. That's what we're here for.
Make it an
right?
off-topic show.
Yeah, we can't do that. Oh, but there's a couple quick things I want to talk about really quick. Neither of you guys watch TV, do you?
I'm very sporadically. There's only like two shows I watch.
Well, Tony, I talked to you about Fringe yesterday, which I'm going to get you season
one.
Yeah,
make sure you bring that in.
I'm going to bring you season one. Also, people out there should be watching Parks and Recreation. Outstanding show. Outstanding, fantastic show. It's better than The Office. The Office has sucked this year. People should really check out Parks.
Oh, Pete would disagree with you on that.
No, Parks and Recreation with they have
someone with Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
Yeah. And no, but she's not even the best part. There's this guy from Human Giant. That was a short show on like a skit show on MTV. And he was also in Funny People, but I haven't seen that. His name's like Azee something. He's got the best comedic timing I've ever seen out of anyone in my life, and he's just hilarious. Like he's the life of that show, and it's basically everyone but Amy Poehler is hilarious. And it also has the woman who played not Rachel, but it was Jim's old girlfriend on The Office that came from the other branch.
Oh yeah, Rashid. Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember.
Wasn't she in I Love You Man too?
She was also in I Love You Man, which is fantastic.
Yeah, Rashida Jones.
Yeah, and she is gorgeous. She's just
she's pretty hot.
She's just beautiful and also hilarious. And the other thing, Modern Family, which is the new show with Ed O'Neill from who you may remember from Married with Children and also Little Giants and Wayne's World
and Dutch.
And Dutch. I haven't seen Dutch.
Oh,
I know what you're talking about, though, but no.
That was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
But he easily has the best scene in all of Wayne's World, if people have seen
it. It's a psychotic ramble scene.
Yeah. So
very good. I also heard that show Community is supposed to be good.
It's not bad. It's got the guy from Talk Soup.
I like John McHale. Or Joel McHale.
Joel McHale. And Chevy Chase is, mediocre, as he has been for the last 20 years. But he's all right. And it's got the funny guy from, the English guy from The Daily Show. The English correspondent guy. All right, I guess that's it. Lee, do you watch any TV? I guess we haven't talked about The Biggest Loser.
an insult's coming. I felt an insult coming. No, actually, I haven't seen The Biggest Loser, but I felt like I should see it. I don't know. I do watch TV. I always end up watching like competitive reality TV, like Top Chef or like dancing shows and stuff like that.
Actually, I like Top Chef.
Yeah. So those are the things I usually end up watching. I love TV shows, like dramas or comedies and stuff like that, but I always miss them I'm always just like, I wait for the DVD. So I catch up everything like a year later after everybody else. But I do end up getting through it usually.
The last thing. I thought it was really interesting, and none of my clients did this last year, but almost every one of my clients and all of my female clients talked to me about what happened on The Biggest Loser in that first the first episode. I didn't watch it, but it was kind of surprising that almost every one of my clients watches that show, came in and was like, "Wow, that is complete BS! Like what they're doing on that show is just complete BS." And they all think that Jillian Michaels is crazy and that she's just trying to make money. And crap! Someone said this. Someone sent this in, but Jillian Michaels has like a weight loss supplement now.
Yeah. Can you believe it's so funny? Because if you've read her Master Your Metabolism book, she basically tells you to throw out everything underneath your kitchen sink and beyond because it's going to kill you. Yet her weight loss supplement products that she peddles are filled with so much stuff. It's not even funny.
Yeah, we're going to quickly talk about it in the main show, but we're going to record that right now. That's it. 30-minute off-topic epic.
That was an epic off-topic.
That's, we're totally delaying the episode 150. All right, we'll see you next time, guys.